Here are some interesting alternatives for Dafyomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which was done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Dafyomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Dafyomi. Different ambiance, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat Barot Yumi Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is Daf Pei Dalet. And we are holding in the middle of the Machloket of the Tana of our Mishnah, who learns that any boat out of any material is by definition Tahor, because it's compared to the Yam itself, as it says, Derech Onia Belev Yam. And on the other hand, we have Chananya Sushat. The only reason to be Metaher, a boat, would be because it's compared, if it's wood, to Sak, like all the eights are compared to Sak, and it has to be Mitatel Malei Verekam. Now, normally a boat is not moved Malei Verekam. However, in the case of the Sfinat HaYarden, since it's carried as a kayak is on the shoulders, it would be considered to be a metato molagareka. At least that's what you would think. If it's a larger boat, which in fact may be, I mean, you didn't say anything about shoulders. All it said is that it's loaded on the dry land, and then it's put into the water, as opposed to a normal boat, which you load up in the water. Comes along today, Rava, to extend the definition of what it would mean to be carried into the water. And we're on the last 2 words of Pei Gimel on the Beit. Omar Rava, I want you to know that according to Chananya, who holds that a movable boat that's made out of wood that could be carried on the land and loaded full on land does not mean you have to carry it on your shoulders. According to him, even if it would be tiltul ayedei shvarim, shmei tiltul. Had you carried it around, even though it's heavy and it requires one of those trailers, which is then pulled by a tractor, but the thing is loaded on the ground to be brought into the yam, that's also considered to be metata molivarekam. Yeah, oxen. And I'll prove that to you from the Mishnah. It's not. Shalor shagalotein. There are 3 separate types. This is a Mishnah in Kelim. There are 3 separate types of agalot. Now, an agala is a general term, which is some type of movable platform. Now, obviously, it could be a coal bed, you know, on a train. It could be a baby carriage. It could be a stagecoach. That is the same word in Hebrew, which is agala. It doesn't matter whether it's with wheels or whether it's a palanquin, whatever it is. So there's 3 agalot. The simple agala that would be makabel, the maximal tuma, would be if it's asuya ki katidra. So it's the stagecoach, basically. Now this could be a very small single chair coach. So it's similar like a katidra, which would be like a palanquin. So it's a chair basically with sides and so on. Now that, because it's made for a human to sit down on, it would even be makabel tumat midras. Because once something is made for sitting, it's mekabel maximal tuma. If it's mekabel tumat midras, then we have our general rule that cuts in, and that rule is called hatamei tumat midras, is by definition hatamei tumat midras. In other words, it's the most difficult to make a kli that would have tumat midras in it. And this, once it's a kli for tumat midras, we learn out that all types of tumot would apply. Furthermore, we have a type of agala which is made like a bed, a flat bed. Now, that's meant not for lying down and for people. It's made like a flat bed for carrying, you know, various packages and so on, like our, what do they have in the boats today? Where you just take the entire platform, what do we call that? Containers, like a container kind of thing. Now, those type of things are mitame only tumat mate. And then you have the type that is like a coal car, which is made for carrying large stones, which are larger than coals, actually, avanim, and that is tahar biklum. These are all made out of wood, And the reason that that's Torah Miklum is because it doesn't have any way to contain things. And then is that a Kli Eitz if it doesn't contain things, and it's not made for a person to sit or lean on, then it's not Makabel Tuma. And what's important, says Rava, is that Rabbi Yochanan says over the Kabbalah that he has about this, is that if that rock bed, car, I guess you call it, Yesh Babet Gibul Rimonim, if it's large enough that it may contain even the small enough the holes between it, even Rimonim, we saw before that pomegranates are the size of a minimal Beit Gibul, so then it would be Metame Tumat Mate. Now you see from there that if the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning it, I mean, these are large containers for stones. Obviously, you can't pick that up. And this is talking about Kli Eitz. So if it's like sack, how can you say it's Metalpe Molivareka? So apparently, since it's made to be attached to an engine that pulls it, or a tractor, or Shvarim in this case, if it's Mitultelet in that fashion, then it would also be considered to be tiltal. And that's my proof. You shouldn't think that you have his batata molivareka in the Svinata Yarden. It happens to be because kayaks are carried by people on their shoulders. That's not the issue. Furthermore, once we're already on this mission, we might as well finish it up. And the mission continues, Shalosh Tevote. You always have three types of wooden boxes. You have a teva, shipitcha mitzida. So a large wooden box that opens up from the side, such as the type that you find sometimes at the foot of a bed. So sometimes those open from the top and you put in your blankets and things. Other times they open from the front, and the top is more of a CT. It has like a little cushion on it and so on. So the one that opens from the side is obviously meant to allow sitting on it, and therefore would be Matami Tumat Midras, and even out the other tumas, obviously. If, however, it opens from on top, then it will not be Makabel Tumat Midras, because remember the rule is, even if you could sit on it, in a situation where people will tell you, Amod Venasa Malakten, will you please get up so we can use the box? The case, of course, that we had was the bucket that you turned upside down. But it's the same idea. If you're preventing usage of the box by sitting on the top because you can't open it, so then it will not be Makabel Tumat Midras, even if you're sitting on it. And it would only be Makabel Tumat Mate and whatever can be Matami Kalim, which has been Avatum, which is why it talks about Tumat Mate. And Haba'ab Midah. Now, if it is very large, because Haba'ab Midah, as the Torah says about the giants that lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were all Anshei Midot. Anshei Midot means you look at a thing and you start talking about the size. Oh my God. That basketball player seems to be 8 feet tall. So that's Baba Midah. So this is a very large box, meaning that it would not be Metaltum Oliverica. Then it is not Makabel any type of tuma, because it doesn't fit the rules of the comparison to Sa. Once we're already on the topic over here, let's expand out a bit. Tamarabana. Midras Klicheres, Tahor, all of this is a discussion about wood. If you're talking about a glicheres, even if you would sit on it, and it would be made for sitting, it would not be makabel tumat midras. We'll see how we know that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the same thing is true about a svina. Now, what in the world that is supposed to be is very unclear. Michael Omer, who is svina? What is svina and glicheres? Omer is vidno. I'll tell you what's going on. The way to understand it is like this. Tanakhama makes a statement, Midras Klicheres Tahor, which implies that the maga of a Klicheres would be Tameh. And I'm taking for granted that it would be any type of Klicheres, even if it's a boat, as long as it's movable. It doesn't even have to be movable. The Svina Shalcheres would be Tameh Kechananya, because we don't learn out Derech Oni Abalev Yam, according to Chananya. So there's no ipso facto tire of a boat. The only problem is movable, but that's only Nogea Kli Eitz. Klicheres is not compared in any way to Sat, and therefore it should be Makabel Tum, according to Chananya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now switch back to the Lushan of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afa Svina. No, wrong. A Svina is Tahor, completely. The same way that Midras Kli Cheres is Tahor. He obviously disagrees with Chananya, and he is saying, Ketana Didan, that it's learned out from Derech Oni Abalev Yam. To which Rav Papa responds exactly the way I'm sure you are angrily ready to respond. Matifa, Rav Papa, that is outrageous. The ratio was talking about, what was the statement? That Midras Klitahar, Klikaris Tahar. So what are you saying? And also of a Svina. Also what of a Svina? So what's the af? You're talking about af in terms of maga. We're talking about midras. This makes no sense. It doesn't flow. Af. The case you're talking about is af. No, please. That can't be what you're dealing with in terms of Tumah V'Tahara. I'll tell you what it means. El Amar Papa, the point is this. Midras klikeres tahor umaga'o tamei. Yes. And shel eitz, what the Tanakhama is saying, is totally bein midraso, bein maga'o, is tamei. But the Svinat HaYarden is tahor. If anything, what the Tanakhama is saying is that any type of boat is considered to be tahor because of our pasuk in our Mishnah, Ketana Didan, namely, that it says, Derech Oniyah V'Levyam. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not true. A Svina that would be made out of Keres would also be Mikabel Tuma because of Hananya's Limut. Hananya says we don't learn out from Derech Oniyah V'Levyam. We learn it out from the comparison to Sak, but Keres is not compared to Sak. And therefore, Svina would also be Tumea.
Keres, the idea is on the inside.
We'll get to Keres right now. Says the Gemara, where do we get this from? That Midras Klicheres is tahor. In other words, you're telling me that if you make a bed out of porcelain, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah, despite the fact that it's miyuchad for sleeping in. Why would that be? Midras Klicheres is minolan de tahor. Omar Chizkiah, look, that's a given, everybody knows that, and we learn it out of the Pasuk. The Pasuk basically compares the din of Mishkav Hazav to the din of the body of the Zav itself, because it says, Ish asher yigab mishkavo yechabes bigadav. So the continuation here is from the din of the Zav, plus Ish asher yigab mishkavo. What does that tell us? That whether you touch the Zav, or whether you touch the Mishkav HaZav, it has the same din, right? But meanwhile, that's telling you, view the Mishkav HaZav as an extension of the Zav. Now, the one thing I can tell you about the Zav is by definition, Mahu Itle Tehorah B'Mikveh, in the same way that the Zav himself has the potential of becoming Tahor in a Mikveh, so too the Mishkavo is only referring to the same set of objects that include the Zav himself. And therefore the Mishkavo needs to be a type of Kli that would have Tahara B'Mikveh. Since a Kli Cheres by definition is Yishaver, never has Tahara B'Mikveh, therefore, it is not included in the set of objects that have Tumat Mishkavu Moshav. That was taken for granted. The Vei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. The Vei Rabbi Yishmael does not learn it from precisely the same Pasuk, because Lamaisa, the Pasuk over there, adds a little bit of a complication, because it isn't really true that a Zav has Tahira and a Mikvah. A Zav has Tahira only in Mayim. So it would have to be, now that sort of messes up the comparisons. I mean, only thing, why not make a set of objects that require Tahara B'mayim Chayim? I mean, so therefore, he wants to learn the same limud, except instead of going to a Zav, what we want to do is talk about the din of Zava and Nida. So over there, he says, it's the same idea, but it says, Kol HaMishkav Asher Tishkav Alav Kol Yemei Zova. Okay? So there we have the same idea where we're going to be makish the mishkav of a nida la. Just like the nida has tire of a mikveh, and that is tire of a mikveh. You don't need a mayan to be matire a nida. Af mishkav anani ite tire of a mikveh. But that excludes klicheres. Klicheres do not have tire of a mikveh. And that basically proves that contention. What did Rabbi Loi? Rabbi Loi asks on this whole idea, which claims that if something is tahor b'mikveh, then and only then, it's b'kabel tumas mishkav u'moshav. If it's not included in tahor b'mikveh, it does not have the din of tumas mishkav u'moshav. And he asks from the following. Mafatz b'mit minayin. How do we know that a reed mat is mekabel tumat mate? Because after all, a reed mat is not comparable to sock. it's not beit-kibul to be metaltal other things with it. The only thing it's good for is lying on. Would that be makabel tumat mate? When we say tumat mate, what we mean is tumat any other tumat, like any other keli. Is it makabel tumat mate? It says it is, but where in the world do we know? Normally, pshute kliyetz is definitely not going to be makabel tumat. So, v'dinu. I'll tell you what it is. It's a kal vachomer. We learn it out from pachim ktanim. Now, pachim ktanim have a special character. And that special character is you can't get your finger inside of them. They have a very, very small opening. They have Coke bottle openings. Those are pachim ktanim. Now, the problem with having a small opening is what? Who cares? I'll tell you what. If you can't get your finger inside, then there cannot be tumat marga, because a kli cheres is only mekabel tuma from its inside, not from its outside. So therefore, if a zov would touch this all day long, it would not be mekabel tuma from the zov. So nonetheless, pachim ktanim are tohor bezov, because there's no way to be metayer them. And yet we know for a fact that even Coke bottles, of course these are Coke bottles in the old, very old-fashioned kind, that were made out of porcelain or out of clay. So, these Coke bottles, when I say clay, I mean baked clay, you know, cheap ceramics, and that was actually the disposable bottle of the time. It was not glass, but it was very simple ovenware. So, those pachim ktanim tohor bezov, and yet the tamei b'mate. Why? Because it says, v'chol kli, any kli cheres, asher, ain't samit patil alav tamei. Anything that is found inside of a oel hamit is going to be tamehu. So obviously, you don't have to get your finger inside. So you see from there that it would be makabel tumat mate. Now, that's despite the fact that there's no way to be matame one of these small throwaway Coke bottles by a zav, but there'll be matame in an oel hamit. A mapfatz, which is makabel tuma of a zav. Because after all, it says v'chol hamishkav, anything that you can sit on is going to be mekabel tuma from someone who is tamei like azav. So if he sits on it, it'll be mekabel tuma. So kol shekein eino din sheyeh tamei b'meit. It should definitely be tamei b'meit. Now, according to what you just said, the whole thing breaks down because the kol hamishkav should not include a flat reed mat, for the simple reason that since flat reed mats do not have tyra b'mikveh, why would they not have tyra b'mikveh? Because they do not appear in either of the two lists that we use as the basis for tyra b'mikveh, which is the list of clay midyan, where over there all things have a beit kibul, or were instruments out of metal, and which doesn't need a beit kibul, or the lists of the kelim that are mentioned by Tumat Sheretz. We're there too. It doesn't talk about flat things. It only talks about metaltum olivareka. So something is wrong with your limud, because over here we're assuming that this kli, despite the fact that it's not a member of the set of things, of objects that have tahara b'mikveh, is included in the dinim of tumat mishkav u'moshev. And you said that the comparison of Mishkav u'Moshev to the actual body of the Zav creates a set of objects that have to hire a mikveh, and this doesn't fit. Yet we're taking for granted not only that it's a given that despite its not having to hire a mikveh, it nonetheless is considered to be Mekabel Tumas Mishkav u'Moshev, but it even becomes the basis of the limud of a Kal v'Chomer that we should talk about Mekabel Tumas Meis. Now that is outrageous, unless your assumption is wrong. We do not have such a set of objects that have tahara b'mikveh. Now, as to the question of whether it is really true, Richie, is it really true that flat eitz does not have tahara b'mikveh? The truth is, the pshat that I told you is Rashi's pshat. However, Tosfos disagrees, and he learns that definitely would have tahara b'mikveh. Eitz would have tahara b'mikveh. The only thing that doesn't have tahara b'mikveh is reeds that are soft and do not yet have a din of eitz. So that, just like Urchlin Umashkim don't have tahara b'mikveh, so too that one wouldn't have tahara b'mikveh. That's just an aside. In any event, how do you explain How can you consistently agree with the approach that things that have tire b'mikvah and only such things, as Hananya claimed, are going to be metame b'mishka, and yet we find that a flat kli either made of gummy or of eitz is definitely, despite the fact it doesn't have tire b'mikvah, is mekabel tuma b'mishka v'moshe. Amalei Rabbi Hanina, well, that's not a problem. The class of objects does not mean to define a particular object. It's a class of material. And since over here, this material, were it formed into a Beit Kibul, would have Taira B'mikvah, the fact that this particular object doesn't have Taira B'mikvah is irrelevant. Because Shaine Hatam Ovika Bimino, it has in its type of material Taira B'mikvah, and that's the limud, not object. Omar, may God save us from those types of swars. That is insane. I would refuse to accept this, says Rabbi Lloyd. Rachmana litzlan mi I died. Oh, God should only save us. Says Rabbi Chena, well, on the contrary, God save us from your swar. Adarab, Rachmana litzlan mi died to the duck. You're out of your mind. You don't know how to read a pasuk. Explain it to you. The time of my, look, it's all very nice to walk around with your intuition, okay? How about learning a little bit? There's two different psukim. Look at this. On the one hand, we have the Ish Asher Yigav Mishkavo, which we said is the comparison of Mishkav Lo. Okay? That clearly compares, and because of that, creates the set. Now, you're saying, I understand your intuitive response. Well, it creates a set. You can't say that the set is only to materials. The set is given in the Torah as a class of objects, not materials. It just says, Makish the Mishkav Lo. Very sweet. How about learning the other pasuk, okay? There's another contradictory pasuk. The other pasuk says, Uchtiv, V'chol ha-mishkav. Now, first thing I want you to note is the expansion of the idea with the word kol, okay? Whenever we use the word kol, what do we need the word kol for? V'ha-mishkav. Kol ha-mishkav is saying, but other objects that you might have thought were not included. Kol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav hazav yitma. Is there any discussion over there of comparing the object to him? No. Look at the context of this pasuk. Kol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav hazav. Kol ha-kli asher yeshev alav yitma. Now this is obviously discussing completely without any connection to the man himself. It's talking about things that are tamei mishkav. Kol ha-mishkav, and it's expanding the idea of mishkav to say, be above and beyond what you otherwise would have thought. Now, how do you explain those two psukim? I'll tell you how to explain the two psukim. Okay, son. But the point is that we're meant to reach a balance between the specific definition of the case in terms of him and the object, and say that the class here is the class of objects that can be mekabel tuma, the tire of b'mikvah, namely the zav plus the anything at all that is right now what he's sitting on, versus what appears to be an insistence that there is no such set, okay? What's the compromise position? Compromise position is, it's true, there is no such set as class of objects, but there obviously is a set, which must be class of materials. Ha! Which proves exactly what I was saying. So if this thing has the potential of being a material, which if it were formed with a Beit Kibul, would have Taira B'mikvah, therefore would be Mekabel Tumas Midras, QED. So Af Agav the Let Lay personally Taira B'mikvah, but the B'mino would be sufficient. Okay, it said Yesh B'mino, Af Agav the Let Lay personally as an object, Taira B'mikvah, then it would also be the Mekabel. The din of midrash, but ein b'minai. However, if even the material class is not included in things that could be tor b'mikvah, such as cheres, then we kick in with the comparison to makish mishkavola, and we create this set of materials that are mekabel tuma, rather mekabel taira b'mikvah. Rava Amar, Rava says, you don't need to come on, not to Hananya, not to Rabbi Yishmael. The basis of Midrash Kli Cheres being Tahar is from the following pasuk, Dichtiv, V'chol Kli Patuach Asher Ein Tzamit Patil Alav. What do we say, Tamehu? Any Kli that is open, referring to the Kli Cheres there, which is not covered by a tight-fitting cover inside of an Ohel Hamet, is Mekabel Tuma. But obviously saying, if it were covered by a tight-fitting cover, it would not be Tahar. Be'olamit, not to mention the fact, of course, anything inside of it would also not be makabel tumah, for the simple reason that if the tumah can penetrate into the kli charis, if it were able to penetrate into the kli charis, then it would be matameh the inside of the kli charis, because that's the equivalent of maga. She's saying, if there's a little hole in the top, then the genie could go into the bottle and be matameh from the inside. But if you seal off the hole, then the genie of tumah cannot get in. But it's clear that the walls of the kli definitely seal out the genie of tumah, right? That's what it's saying. Now, I ask you, do we not have a rule that anything which is tameh, cannot be chotzeitz b'fnei tumah? In other words, if this kli were tameh in the first place, we're agreed that we can't keep the genie out by materials that are already radioactive. That is to say, makabel tumah. So they become now permeable to tumah. That's the rule. Okay, so let me ask you something. Does not the word kol kli patuach mean any type of kli charis implications that are sealed would not allow tumah to penetrate them? Now how about if this is a beautiful porcelain blanket container which is meant to have a little place to sit on with a cushion on top, okay? Now who is going to be sitting on this? The lady of the house. Ladies of the house have a tendency to be tamei every once in a while, okay? So milo askina diachdino leishtonida. It says any kli charis. Can you read? Any. Okay. So that means that even if this would be the type of thing that is miyuchad for yeshiva, nonetheless, the Torah is saying, well, it doesn't matter if it has a tzemit patil alav, it's tar. How could it be tar? It was already mekabel tumas midras. Obviously, it wasn't mekabel tumas midras. There you go. So I say that by definition, kalim that could be referred to the posik of tzemit patil cannot be tamei midras, because the clear implications of the posik is that closing them prevents tumah from getting in. And if they themselves had the potential here of tumah when people were sitting on them, it wouldn't help to close them up.
Dr. Hale Commissioner.
You're supposed to do that.
Dr. Hale Commissioner.
That's right. That increases the tension and the excitement like they do in the opera. You know, first you drink, gargle, and then you start singing. So, minayin la'aruga shishishal shishat vachim shizor'im betocha chamisha zer'onim arba l'arba ruchot aruga ve'achat be'emtza. It's clear that the pasuk will be telling you the following information if you just know how to read a simple pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that information is that if you have a 6x6 tefach garden patch, that garden patch can contain, without violation of the dinim of kelayim, 5 different species of vegetation, and nonetheless there won't be a problem. But you can't figure out what pasuk that is. Well, here it is, Shenema. Ki ha'aretz totzid simcha u'chegana zeru eha tatzmiya. In the same way that a garden brings forth its zeronim. Now, note it's not referring to one type of thing. Zeru eha, various zera. We're going to dash in each one of these words in the Gemara. So we have the simcha, which is the zeru eha, which is plural already. And it goes on to say words that we can darshan, which is the tatzmiach as well, totzi as well, gives us 5 with the Lashon Rabbim. And obviously, Yeshayahu was referring to a 6x6 plot measured in tefachim, built in such a way that allows you to have kilayim. Now, we're going to see, we're going to go into the details, but the classic picture of this is not here in your
choice. That's the old style also.
New style. Yes, so the classic picture, according to the Rambam, okay, is this. In which, this is the Rambam's picture. You can have all along each side a different species of vegetation, as long as you leave the corners without anything. That way, there's no area where the minim actually touch each other along a line. Now, it's true that they touch at the corners, and you can put a diamond in the middle in which all corners are touching other meaning. And that's yet a fifth meaning. Okay, so this is a Rambam's classic picture. We'll talk about how we derive this. But let's just think about what the basis of this idea would be. Obviously, there is contact between these various meaning at the corners, at the sharp corners, which is called the Rosh Tor. Now, at the Keren Zavit, the Rosh Tor, there's contact. Why is that not Kilayim? The reason that it's not Kilayim is because Kilayim means also visibly mixed. If you have an attempt to graphically distinguish each mean so that it's clear from the outside that these are separate plots and they're not meant to be living off of each other, that handles the problem of the mixed seeds. But the problem is, when someone sees such a plot, does he not see, by definition, a mixed plot in which underneath everything is mixing? No. Why not? Because as long as you have the distance of three tefachim between each plot, that's the maximal extension of the area in which nutrients are taken by vegetable roots. Okay, so if you have three tefachim between, which you do have between every species here, the essential plot, you don't have a problem of the fact of mixing. In other words, it's not ipso facto nourishing the same meaning at the same time. All you have to worry about is the area that touches or looks mixed. But since over here, graphically, you're setting it aside, it doesn't look mixed. And because of that, you could achieve maximum density, the way the Rambam is learning. Maximum density is putting a diamond in the middle that takes up the entire space up until the point that the diagonal of the diamond touches the other one, the edge of the diamond. So you end up with four on the four sides, one in the middle, nothing in the corners. Now tomorrow we're going to go into the details of how it is that this works out in terms of Kilayim, but that's the essential point of the Mishnah. My Mashma, where do we see here that we have five different types? Amar of Yehuda, well, it's the Pasuk. Ki cha'oretz totzi tzimcha. Okay, how many types of things is that? Totzi, that's already one. It's blossoming. Tzimcha is what it is growing. Okay, that's two. Aretre. 101 is two. Now, Zeru'eah, that's Lashon Rabbim, that's another two. So Zeru'eah is tre. That makes four. And then when you add at the end the word Tatzmiach, it's another one, which gives you five. Now you'll say, well, what does that have to do with an aruga 6x6? I mean, he doesn't mention it. Ah, that's something else. Kimu the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan have an analysis of the nutrient situation that Chamisha Beshinta lo yanke mi'adadi. They are convinced of the fact that experimentally we know that things do not actually share the same nutrients if there's 6x6, if they are just five species. Now tomorrow we'll ask, who cares what the rabbis think? What gives you the right to say, just because that's the way it appears to you, that you have a right to be somehow, are you like really such absolute experts in analyzing soil characteristics, the cellular mechanisms? I mean, what do you know, basically? And tomorrow we're going to bring proof that we have a right to rely on that kind of thing for postuming the halakha. But basically, like all the other psukim that we bring here in this parak, we're not seriously looking at the full information as coming from the pasuk. We're looking at this pasuk as providing a key, a link, which then the rabbanan can apply their din to.
Today's daf is daf pei dalet. And yesterday we had a machlokas as to what the reason is that a svina is considered to be tahara. So in the Mishnah we brought a raya from the pasuk derech on the Yabalevia, and then we found that there's a sheet of Hananya. The sheet of Hananya was that the svina is tahara because of the fact that it has to be damel lesak, because it's made out of wood, and it's not metal to bother the reikam, so then it's tahara. The nafkamina, one of the important nafkaminas we discussed yesterday, was the svinat hayarden. It's a small svina, which is loaded, as Hananya explained, according to the sheet of Hananya, it is loaded on the ground, and then it's carried, and it's put onto a trailer, and moved over to the yam, lowered into the yam. And therefore, we have, because of that pirish, a tuma even on a svina. Now yesterday, the last thing we learned was that according to Rava, it must be that Hananya, if we're going to say that Hananya holds the svina sayardin is tummy, then it would mean that tiltul al yedei shvorim is also shmei tiltul. Bishlema, in other words, if there's a blanket tyra that is given from the posik of svina b'lev yam on a svina, so then this is a non-issue. But according to Hananya, that he so holds that it's metaltal molivarekam, it's obviously not metaltal all yaday people, it's metaltal by putting it on a trailer and moving it. And in fact, he holds that once a sphina is tmeya, will be tmeya even if it's metaltal all yaday shvarim. Where do we see that from? It's not. Shalosh agalotim. There are three types of wagon. One would be made kikatidra. The cathedra is the same word that we have for a cathedral. It's a place where you sit on the stagecoach. A place where you sit that's surrounded as a bakamishimba. We would call that a coach, a riding coach. So that would be to me a midras because it's meant for a person to be sitting on it. If that person is a zav, so it would be matami, the entire agala. If it's made in the tzura of a mita, so then that means that it's basically like a railroad car that is used for filling up. So it's obviously used for transport of various materials. So then it wouldn't be Matami Midras, because we know in order to be Matami Midras, we can't have a situation where someone would say, Amod v'nasim alachtenu. If we need to load it up, we'll tell the tramps to get out of there, but fast. And therefore, it wouldn't be Makabo Midras, but it's still a kli to be Makabo Tuma's mace. In other words, Makabo had Tuma, that it could be Makabo from an Avatuma. But if it's shel avanim, then it's tohara miklum. This doesn't mean that it's made out of avanim, obviously. It's about a poor way to design a wagon. It means if it's made for transporting avanim, which means that it has a reshet on the bottom. It has a screened bottom. It doesn't have a solid bottom. You see this sometimes also in railroad cars. It's different, different type of sora. So that small things will fall through it. It becomes like a sieve kind of thing. And the size of the things that it needs to hold, it'll hold. That's for transporting rocks. So that would be completely tahar because it's not called a Beit Kibbutz. It has holes in the bottom. On that, Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'im yesh ba Beit Kibbutz imonim." So then it would still be tumas meis. On the other hand, this is how the Ramban writes. On the other hand, shalosh teva shepitcha mitzita. You're talking about a box as opposed to an agamas. It means it's not meant for transport. So a box that has an opening on its side. So we all often have that with, you know, our shelves, doors, drawers. So it'll be called a table, shpitcha betzida. That table would be makabel tumas midras milamala, because just as we know, we often are miyachid tables for dual purposes. On the top of the table, you have a changing table for a baby, and underneath you have drawers to use the baby diapers and so on. So that means that you'll never say amod v'nasa malachteinu, because the malachteinu is in the inside, not on the top. And therefore, that will be makabo, even to mas midras. Masha'enken, if you have the opening on top, so it's a chest, like a whole chest, so then it will not be makabo to mas midras, because we'll tell you, excuse me, please get off my box, I need to open it. So that's a mod v'nasim lachtenu. So milamala, tamimeit, meaning any other tuma besides the tuma of midras. But if it's ba'ab mida, right, it's probably an expression based on shemidot. Shemidot means something that needs so big that you need to measure it in order to get a grasp of its size. So if it's bab midah, so then it's tahira miklum. Now note that when it came to the agalot, we didn't have this haba'ab midah tahira miklum. Now how do you explain that? The reason that haba'ab midah is tahira miklum is obviously because of tumilas zayin. And if it's so large, it won't be metalto malagarekam. The only napkamina is that the agala is on wheels, that it's meant to be moved. So it's designed for moving with a heavy load in it. So it's clear, if you look at the contrast between the two, that the size is an element only where you'd have to pick it up and drag it. It isn't made for that purpose. It is made for the purpose, such as the Sfinat HaYarden, the way Fanina Ben Akiva was passed yesterday, then there'd be no problem. Tan Rabbah, Midras Kli Cheres Tahar. It's an interesting idea. that a kli cheres bechalal doesn't have tumas midras. All of the other kelim is there. You can tumas midras depending on the design. As long as you're not going to say amod menasem alachte, you don't have a problem. But when it comes to a kli cheres, there is no midras at all. Rabbi Yossi Omer af hasvina, which is a rather vague comment. We don't know exactly what he means, but it means what midras of a svina would be tor. I mean, I thought a svina is tor miklum anyway. What's Michael Amar, well, first of all, what's the relationship of the whole idea of Svina and Midras? Omer Zidhochi Kama. Clearly, he was responding to an implication. In other words, the Tanakhama was saying that Midras Klicheres would be Tahar, which implies its Maga would be Tami. Whereas a Svina, Shalcheres, that, if I already want to tell you things which are Cheres that would be Tahar, I note that I don't mention the Svina. So apparently a Svina Shalcheres would be Tmeya. That was the other nafkamina between Hananya and the Tadakama. That namely, if you hold of Oniyabalev Yam, so it doesn't matter if it's made out of Cheres, even though Cheres is not Mukash Lasak. That's not even doing Mukash Lasak. It has to do with the fact that it's a Svina. Mashenki Hananya Shita was, the only reason that a Svina would be Tahira would be because it has to be Metatamalagareka. Therefore, if it would be a kli cheres, it would be tamei, because it doesn't need to be metalta malagareka. And that was the implication of the Tanakhama, who was saying only the midras of a kli cheres is tamei. But Lamaisa, Svina of a kli cheres would be tamei. So apparently he argues with the youth of the Tanakhama of Oniyabalev Yam.
Any size?
Yeah, the size is not an issue at all when it comes to cheres. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, afasvina. Svina is also Tahira, like the Tana Dibam. Same way you said Midras Klicheres is Tahar. Maskev or Papa? Thank you. Maskev or Papa? I don't understand how you build an explanation built around something that the Tana didn't say. I mean, what you're saying Af HaSvina. Af HaSvina what? What is the Af HaSvina? I mean, you got to be saying that what? That Af HaSvina is that it's going to be Tor for the thing that you're talking about. In other words, it's got to be Tor. If you're saying Asvina is Tor, it's got to be Tor even from Maga, no? The Tanakhama wasn't talking about Maga. If you're learning that the implications are what Rabbi Yossi is referring to, the fact that you didn't mention Asvina. But the Svina, the point is, if you compare it to the Belev Yam, it wouldn't matter that it's Maga or Midras. Tanakhama is stressing Midras. So what are you throwing in Af HaSvina? I mean, you're talking about something that he wasn't talking about. No, I don't like that shot. I think it means like this. Elamer of football can come. It makes more sense to me to read it like this. Tanakhama was saying, Midras of a kli cheres is tar, and the Maga is tar. Now, the implication is not the Gabi Svina Shalcheres. The implication is, but what if it would be Shalates? But it wouldn't be Shalcheres. What would you say then? So then Shalates, Bein Midraso, Bein Maga'o, would be Tamei, but only because it's a Kli. In other words, if you're looking for other examples of something that would be Tahar, so then what you could mention is the Svina Sayaradin. That is, the Nafkamina is between a normal Kli of Keres and a normal Kli of Eitz. But a Svina Sayaradin would be, in fact, Tahir and completely, like our Tana. And then it would be a reference to Maga as well, Maga and Mas. Rivios and Midrasimi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af HaSvina Tmeah Kichananya. So I understand that it's the other way around. Rabbi Yossi saying Af HaSvina, meaning Af HaSvina is Tameh, just like any other Kli Eitz. But the bottom line is, we've ended up here with a very big chiddush that Midras Kli Cheres would be Tahar. Why in the world would you say such a thing? Midras Kli Cheres minolam de Tahar. Omar Chizkiya, the Omar Krov, the Ish, Asher Yiga b'mishkavo. So here it's talking about now the Tumah of the Zav. It says, that even the Mishkav of the Zav is Metamei an Adam. So that means the Mishkav itself, as opposed to normal Tumah of Kalim, where the Kli is not Metamei an Adam, who touches the Kli, because the Kli can only become a Rishon LaTumah from the Av who touches it. Special Gzeres HaKosov, when it comes to Mishkavo, the use of the pronoun over here, Zanha Mishkav, is Mishkavo. So the Mishkav of him, all put in one word, which means that the Torah is being makish, the Mishkav, to the Zav himself. Makish Mishkavo lo. Mahu Yitle Tahara de Mikva. Just like the Zav is something that has tahara of a mikvah. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. A zot doesn't literally have tahara of a mikvah, because a zot has to be tahara in mayim chayim, not in a mikvah. And he's different than all of the other tumas. So either it means that he's a person, and a person has tahara of a mikvah, or it's just referring in general over here. In other words, there is a mode in which he could achieve tahara through mayim, which, if applied to a kli, would be tahara of a mikvah. So the mishkav anani is a tahara of a mikvah. That would mean that the mishkav azav has to be something that's tahara in a mikvah. But since the Torah says that a kli cheres yishav there and does not have tahara of a mikvah, so therefore it's essentially telling you to exclude kli cheres from the comparison of mishkav olav, which means that there's no din of mishkav by cheres. If there's no din of mishkav by cheres, that means takes us out of the entire halachas of midras. Tavei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Another drasha. Ki mishkav nidata yela. The mishkav, there it's talking about kol mishkav asher tishkav olav. There it's the zova, as opposed to the first pasuk. So over there, the pasuk is talking about the sitting down, the zova sitting down on something. Ki mishkav nidata yela. Will be ki mishkav nidas. So over here too, the Torah is comparing her to her mishkav. Just like he eat latayra b'mikvah, af mishkav anami, eat latayra b'mikvah, lafukik l'cheres, let latayra b'mikvah. So we're coming up with a very fascinating halacha, that the whole din of midras, even though normally we don't say that the tumah on a thing is nogea, the tayra of the thing, here, because of the way that the Torah introduces the din of mishkav, midras becomes dependent on the ability to have a tayra. And if you can't have a tayra, then there's no tumah. Fascinating. Masiv Rabbi Law asks on this kviyut, because this kviyut should have application to any place where you have a situation where something won't have tahara in it. It's not a din in kliferes. It doesn't say anything about kliferes. You were saying that the basis of kliferes is a general rule that if you can't be matayra thing, then you can't be matayra when it comes to midras. I can show that that's not true, says Rabbi Law.
Kliferes can never become tahara.
No, it never comes to me, but midras. This is a special chiddush for the din of midras because of the way the Torah compares the mishkav of the zav to the zav proper. But I have a case which is not cheres, which has the same limitations, that it doesn't have tahara midras, and it can become tahara for midras. How are you going to explain that? And that is the case of a mefetz. Now, a mefetz is basically a basket weave, just straight. And it's used for lying on, like with the old time sleeping bag. You unroll the sleeve, you sleep on it. And it is that, of course, it's makabel tumas mishkav. A basket weave of reeds.
A mat.
So it says there in the Brisa, I guess the mefetz b'meis is also going to be makabel tumas. Not normally. Something like a mefetz, which would be a pshute kliyetz, an accident, would not be mekabel tumah at all, because a kliyetz has to have a base kibbutz. Nonetheless, a mefetz, for some reason, it says here, is going to be matami tumas meis, even though it's pshute kliyetz. So we ask, how do we know such a thing? V'dinu, umar pachim ketanim, shetahirin bezot, tmein b'meis, I'll tell you. Says the Brisa, it's a kal v'chomer. If pachim kitanim, which are so small, like little perfume bottles that are made out of cheres, there's no way to be metame that thing with a zav, because they're certainly not made to sit down on. You can't be metame them with mishkav. You can't be metame them b'mada, because there's no way to touch the inside. How's a zav going to put his hand inside of a perfume bottle? It won't fit. So there's no way that it can be mekabel tumah from a zav. And nonetheless, they're tamei b'meis. They're certainly going to become tamei b'meis in an oil, because the tumas meis goes in, so to speak, to the top of the perfume bottle if it's uncovered, and the bottle will become tamei. So if you have a mefetz, which is tamei b'zav, why is it tamei b'zav? Because it's included in kol hamishkav, because it's something that you can lie on. So once a
Mapats.
Yeah, no, it could be. I'm happy to move to Mapatz. No, I know. I think in the Gahati also it's Mapatz. So, okay, we'll move to the modern translation. The Mapatz would be Mekabel Tuma of Midrash from Azov, because it's obviously designed for Shiva, so it's been called Shiva Kabbalah. And therefore, it should definitely be Mekabel Tuma Smeis. So we have over here a klal, which in fact is a very important klal, that anything which is Mekabel Tuma Midrash will be Mekabel Tuma Smeis, even though on its own, if it wouldn't have been for its capability to be Mekabel Tuma, it never would have been Mekabel Tuma from the Meis, because it's not included under the Kalim, which are themselves listed in Tuma Smeis. There's no base key.
Meaning in the oil or
mist? Well, here it doesn't have to be in oil. In the case we had before, Pachi Bukhtan had to be in the oil. There would be no other way for the mace to get inside. But
is put on a mat?
You don't need to put on. There's no putting on. If it's in an oil mace, if it touches a mace, it doesn't have to be put on.
All the things
they use
for a
mace,
the colors
are coming with. Don't even think in those terms. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like any clay in the world, a cup, a knife, has nothing to do with the mace, personally. But if it touches the mace, it'll be Mekabel Tuma. Anyway, a kli, a normal kli, it's Mekabel Tuma from a sheretz, it's Mekabel Tuma from a mace, correct? You're stumbling onto a very important misunderstanding of the Gemara, which actually Rashi addresses at length. He says there's some people who make the mistake of thinking that the makers we had before, a very strange lotion, if you remember back at Nafnun Test, we had the story of Amod Benasa Malachtenu by Mace. So she said, because of that, people misunderstand. They think a kli needs to be miyuchet for a mace. I'm going to be the Kabbalah to Mace. Whereas, of course, over there, the din of Amod Benasa Malachtenu only had to do with the halach of Shmiras Kalim, and they need to be made in Malachtenu Marishena. It's nothing to do with this idea of Amod Benasa Malachtenu. It's about Menasim Achtenu Arishana, just to be defining what type of kli it is. So don't make that error. We don't care what type of kli it is. The point is, once it's a kli that's roy for Kabbalah's Tuma of a Zav, it'll be Mekabel Tuma in general, is what we mean. If it wouldn't be Mekabel Tuma of Mishkav Azav, then it has to fit the other criteria. Does it have a base kibble or not, if it's a kli 8. Now, according to you who claim that the reason that a kli keres will not be Mekabel Tuma of Midrash is because of the comparison of Mishkav Olam. So that means because it doesn't have Tarav HaMikvah, then it will also not be Mekabel Tuma of Midrash. So this whole thing's a mistake. Because, and here we have a big machlokes, because what? Rashi learns, because Pshutei Kliyos don't have Tarav HaMikvah. They don't have, in other words, since they're not included in the list of Kalim, the guy Bistam Kabbalah's Tuma. So then they're not included in the Kalim that are mitzarim in a mikvah. So basically what you would be doing is saying that a mapatz is tamei, but it can't become tar. So then you could say the same thing by cheres. The cheres is tamei, but it can't become tar. Well, what's the difference between them? So you see that your reasoning is wrong. We don't have a general klal that something that can't become tar, like the Zav himself, can also not be a makabal of Tumas Mishkev Azav. No, it can be used as much as you want. There's no issur in using tummy, unless you want to have to eat truma or something like that. But generally speaking, it's skipping the tire. Remember, we're not talking about Kalim of Kutchim over here. We're not talking like in the base of Migdom, just Klicheres Yishaver. If you have a Klicheres, it doesn't need Shvir. Only when you take it in and you make a klicheres kedesh and you use it for kutchim, then it requires shvir. But it means there'll be no way to use it for something that has to be taught. Omale Rebbe Chanina.
What would be the other reason you couldn't put it into the mikvah? So Rashi
had. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Tosfos disagrees. There's no reason to say that Pshutei Kliyos won't be matir in the mikvah. He learns that the mapatz that we're talking over here is gumi, reed, and not eights. So therefore, even though on the one hand, in terms of the Kabbalah's Tuma of Midrashes, Gomi would be included under Eitz, but in the Parsha of the Tyrus Kalim, by Midian, we don't find the concept of Gomi before. And therefore, there would be Mekabel to Tyra in a Mikvah for a completely different reason. Comes along Rabbi Chanina, And he says, well, that's a beautiful point. The only thing is, it's not such a telling point, because by cheres, it's the entire set of clean cheres that will not be the proper tool. Here, it's an accident of design. It's not going to create, it's not mekabel tyra. Cheres is not mekabel tyra at all. Cheres yishaver has absolutely nothing to do with it. You're telling me that nothing that's made out of wood is mekabel tyra b'mikvah? This particular kli, the way it's designed, without a base kibbutz, will not be mekabel tyra b'mikvah. So since its min has tyra b'mikvah, that's not a violation of the mishkabo lo comparison to the tyra made. Look, I mean, you were willing to say by the Zav, the Zav is like Tarev HaMikvah, you didn't mean literally Tarev HaMikvah. I mean, a person has a Tarev HaMikvah. A Zav doesn't have a Tarev HaMikvah. Okay, I mean, so that's the idea. If, in general, this type of thing has a Tarev HaMikvah, wood has a Tarev HaMikvah, Cheres doesn't have a Tarev HaMikvah. That's the point. So, Hayo B'Ika B'Minei, since its type of thing is Tarev HaMikvah, that is sufficient to allow us to apply the din of the Hekesh of the Mishka blow. Or Marlezer said, "Oh God, help us! Insanity! Achwana litzlam me! I'm absolutely mishugah. I've never seen a madman like this. What kind of thing is this? The Torah is saying it's comparing the mishkav lo, and you're saying, well, it's comparing the mishkav lo, meaning in a general sense, not in a particular sense. Would you come up saying things like that, just to make it convenient that this price now should work out with your preconceived notions?" So Amar Lei, he says, it's you that we need saving from. The time of my, because you don't know what you're talking about. If you analyze the pasuk over there, you'll see that there's really two psukim. I'm not just pulling this out of my belly. There's two different psukim in the comparison, in the dinim of Mishkav. One which does compare the Mishkav to the Zav, and one which does not compare the Mishkav to the Zav. Now how do you explain that, dear sir? Because it does say, the ish asher yigab mishkavo, which you very properly pointed out before, that there's a comparison of mishkav lo, that's mishkavo. How about this pasuk? V'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav hazav, where there's no indication. On the contrary, it's kol ha-mishkav, even a mishkav which is not compared lo. What are you going to say? I'll tell you what to say. Okay, son. What the Torah is coming along to teach you is that there are indeed two separate things you need to take into consideration. That if you have b'mino, yesh b'mino, afagav de lei tayra b'vikva, that's one case. And over there, you have enochinami, that's considered to be makabo tuma from Azov in his mishkan. Whereas you have ein b'mino, if it's bechlal, the entire set, such as by Kricheres, there, indeed, makish mishkabalo, you have no choice but to say my das. Don't you understand? If on the one hand the Torah is saying you need to have a comparison of the mishkab to the zav, and on the other hand it says, well, it doesn't really matter. So how are you going to explain that? There's only one explanation. It doesn't really matter in the particular case, and it very much matters in the general case. That's the point. So when it comes to kli cheres, indeed we have to exclude midrash on kli cheres, and when it comes to pshute kli eitz, or according to Tarsus Gomi, so then we don't have to exclude it, because then it's just an accident of birth, so to speak. Rava says, your analysis would be beautiful, except that that's not the mocker. I mean, the mocker of the Tyra of Midras from Pecheres is from the following, and not from your drasha. Meoch. The chol kli pasua, asher ein samid pasil Allah. So what is that telling you? That if you have a kli cheres in an oil amaz that isn't sealed completely, it becomes tomei in the oil hamais. How about if, oh yes, tzamit pasil alav? So it's telling you in the pasuk very clearly that a tzamit pasil is going to keep that kli cheres tar in an oil hamais. There's only one problem. How about if that kli cheres, which is covered with this tzamit pasil, also serves as a seat? Seat.
To sit on.
Right? Such things happen very often. You could have, for instance, a chamber pot in which the top of the chamber pot is a seat. Very often you have these in bathrooms where your laundry basket is a seat. Okay, so your chamber pot is made out of there. You now have a top on it, which doubles as a place to sit down on. And now there's a mace in the bias. What's going to be the gym? So it has its own puzzle of, you're saying it's dark. There's only one problem. A kli, or anything for that matter, which is makabel tumah, cannot be chayitz with nadum. That's a general rule. The Torah is saying over here that if it has something on it, it prevents the tumma from coming into it. How can it prevent the tumma from coming into it? It's going to be a kabbal tumma because it's midrash. So what about the midrash issue? Forget about it. You're right. When it comes to a klicheres cannot be a kabbal tumma from its top. But if it was a kli that's a kabbal midrash, it has nothing to do with its top or its inside. It just has to do with the fact that somebody sat on it. That's not a din in inside or outside.
In case you just have to tell you to get off, I want to use the chamber pot.
No, not if it's miyuchet for yeshiva as well.
As well.
Yeah. I won't tell you that. So therefore, even though milo askina di avdino liyishto nida, I mean, how about in a case where this was miyuchet that a person, a woman who's a nida, is allowed to sit on it in the house and it's meant to double as a seat? How about over there? And nonetheless, the Torah is telling us it's tar. Now, it wouldn't be tar if it was shayach to be mekabel tuma midras. So it's clear from the whole din of kli cheres, in which we know that a kli cheres is mekabel tuma in an elamis only in a case where ain't tzomit pasil alav. Must be behechra that there is no din of midras be kli cheres. It's taking it for granted that no matter what kind of tuma it was miyuchet for, no matter what kind of use it was miyuchet for, it's going to be tar.
If you use it on a
exactly. We all agree to that. I mean, that's how we started. That there's no din of midrash on kli cheres. The question is, how do we know it? So do we know it from the comparison of Mishkav Olo? And that led us to all of the problems of the Mavatz. Or do we know it because of the din of Tzomit Pasil? The next drasha that we're bringing in this parak of drashas. Minayin la'aruga, shehi shisha shisha shetvachim, shezorim betolcha chamisha zeronim, arbal arbal ruchot ha'aruga v'chad ba'emza. I'll bet you were always wondering about that. Where do we know? Where do we know that in a square of six tvachim by six tvachim, you can fit in five different types of plants, which would be colliding normally with each other? Now what this is based on is the yesod that kilayim is dependent on irvuvia. And there's two important nekudas in kilayim. Does it grow irvuvia? If it looks like it's planted randomly, then the second criteria clicks in. Is it in fact a case in which two different species are mixing the ground from which they're being nourished from? That's called yinita. Where are they drawing the nourishment? So if you have no sense at all of its growing birvuvia, it's clearly visibly separated, we don't even care if it's in contact from where it's being nourished from. Because then it's not kilayim by definition. They're clearly kept separate. But where we don't see them clearly kept separate, there is makbid that they shouldn't indeed be mixing in the makom in which they're nourished from. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that in a case where you have a square, it's possible to design the square in such a way, to design your planting in the square in such a way, that you could fit in five different zroi. Now, on the surface, this doesn't seem that reasonable, because since the shear of Yanika is 1.5 tvachim, that would mean that it boils down to keeping 3 tvachim between each thing, because otherwise you have an overlap of the Yanika. So there'd be no way that you could have 3 lines here, essentially we have the middle and the 2 ends, in 6 tvachim, because then you don't have 3 tvachim between each thing. How exactly would we be doing this? But actually what it's based on is the design, is Rashi's pshat, we'll be seeing throughout the Gemara various issues that this design brings up. But the design over here is to have 4 different types of growths around the edge, which are separated only at the place where they meet. So there's a blank spot. If you take a look at that little bit small, there's a blank spot in each of the corners. Now that creates a very clear graphic visual impact of a separation between all of the different types. Imagine if each one was a different color as well, a different species. I mean, you can see that it's a different thing growing. Each one is growing on its own. So then, even though they're right up close to each other in the corner there, certainly not a tuff and a half apart, they're planted one next to the other at the edge. Doesn't matter, because I can graphically discern that they're not meant to be growing together. The middle which would have to be a dot, even though it's not graphically defined, but it's far enough away, and we're going to get into, well, how is it far enough away? I mean, what are we talking about? But Rashi's talking about a single kelach, one seed in the middle, which would be, theoretically, 1.5 tefachim from either side, from all sides. You have to be marking it from every different meaning. So then that 1.5, meaning each one 1.5, 1.5 from a total of 3 between them.
How much is
it? Well, the hypotenuse is not an issue here. It has to be meruchic from the edges that are closest to it. Okay.
So what's the minimum that's required?
1.5 from each side, which is 3 of 2 different meaning to each other.
Is the element that's,
there's 2 elements. One element is the graphic design of the edge, which allows them to be up close to each other, even though they're still being yonek. And the other is the distance between the middle dot and the side points all around.
But if it's 6,
then it's correct. All this we're going to talk about. But anyway, I'm sure you're always wondering, so how do we always know that? So we know that from the pasuk Shinemar, ki ka'oretz totzi simcha, Uchigana zeru eha tatzmiya. I was going to say, where do we know that? But it doesn't say over here zar'ah, it says zeru eha. Zar'ah lo nemar ela zeru eha. I'm sure that really clarifies it. So my mashma asks the Gemara, what in the world, where do we see this in this pasuk? Omer Yudah, it means that each one of these l'shainers who be motzi, a pri, has to be looked at separately. See, ka'aretz totsi tzimcha. So totsi, if you would have said ka'aretz totsi, I understand that automatically it means if the land is motzi, it's motzi a growth. So totsi is chat. Tzimcha is another chat. It's an ayav tree. Zeru'er, as the Rishon explains, doesn't say za'aretz, it's zeru'er. It has to be a minimum of 2. So that's hari arba. Then it says tatzmiach. Tatzmiach is another one. And that adds up to 5. Now, how do you know that 5 can be within 6? Ah, that's something else. The kilo, the Rabbanan, the chamisha, b'shita lo yantka mi'adar. The Rabbanan have experimentally determined that the shiur of yanika would allow for you to have one in the middle of this diagram, and therefore it would be okay. Oh, that's all very nice. I mean, you bring me a pasuk, but what you really mean is that the Chachamim had a preconception, and they fit in the pasuk into the preconception. What kind of drasha is that? I mean, all of the other kimul Rabbanim milsi. Who says it just because Rabbanim think that's the way it is? Therefore, it's meaningful. So how do you know that's nogea, that you're bringing a pasuk to say, and therefore, since we fit this into what's given by the Rabbanim, I guess that we'll find out tomorrow. Very good. Okay, so I'm like